is Bhagavad Gita as it is, 12th chapter, texts 3 and 4. Ye tvaksharam anirdesham avyaktam paryupasate sarvatragam achintyam cha kutastam achalam dhruvam saniyamyendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhayaha te prapnuvanti mameva sarvabhuta hite rataha ye tvaksharam anirdesham avyaktam paryupasate sarvatra gamma chintyam cha kutastham achalam dhruvam sanniyamyendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhayaha te prapnuvanti mameva sarvabhuta hite rataha.
Ye tvaksharam anirdesham
avyaktam paripasate satratagam achintyam cha kutastam achalam dhruvam saniyamyendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhayaha
Samabuddhayaha. Sarvatam Prayavasate
Sarvatra Gavadindyam Cha
Sarvatra Namajinyam Cha
Udhastavadanam Dhruvam
Udhastavadanam Dhruvam
Samyam Endriya Gramam
Samyam Endriya Gramam
Sarvatra Samabuddhaya
Sarvatra Samabuddhaya
Te Praknuvanti Mameva
Te Praknuvanti Mameva
perception of the senses.
Anir desham,
indefinite. Avyaktam, unmanifested.
Paryupasate,
completely engage in worshipping.
Sarvatragam,
all pervading.
Achintyam,
inconceivable.
Cha,
also.
Kutastam,
unchanging.
Achalam,
immovable.
Dhruvam,
fixed.
Sanniyamya,
controlling.
Indriyagramam,
all the senses.
Sarvatra,
everywhere.
Samabuddhayaha,
equally disposed.
Equally disposed.
They.
Prapnuvanti.
Achieve.
Achieve.
Mam.
Me.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Sarvabhuta.
Sarvabhuta. Hite. For the welfare of all living entities. Rataha.
Engaged.
But those who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed and immovable, the impersonal conception of the absolute truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engaged in the welfare of all at last achieve me. Timirandhasya Anjana Shabakaya Chakshur Militam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Ayam Rupa Padamayam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam, Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Sri Rupam Shagrajatam, Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sadivam, Sadvaitam Shavadutam, Pradishana Sehitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padam, Sahagana Lalita, Sri Vishakhanditamsha. He Krishna Karuna Sindha Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskute Tanta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Paramami Hari Priye Vansha kopitaru vyascha kripa sindhu vyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shall we run this other fan? That control. Okay. People will be more comfortable. Yeah. Ye tvaksharam anirdesham avyaktam paryupasate sarvatra gamachintyam cha kutastam machalam dhruvam sanniyam yendriya grama sarvatra samabuddhayaha te prapnuvanti mam eva sarvabhuta hite rataha. I think this can be slower like that one. All those regulators not working.
I
see. Well, let's run it for a few minutes. That'll bring in all the cold air from there, and then we can turn it off. We'll try. In the previous verses, at the beginning of the chapter, Arjuna has put the question very clearly, who's better? The person who's engaged in devotional service or the person who's engaged in the aksharam avyakta, the impersonal. Evam satata yukta ye bhaktas tvam paryupasate. Those are the devotees, always engaged. And cha api aksharam avyaktam. There are others who are engaged in the impersonal feature of the Absolute. Tesha, of them, ke yoga vittamaha. Who are the best? Who are the best knowers of yoga? Who are the most perfect in yoga? That's the question. Very clear question. And the answer is very clear immediately. Maya vesha mano ye mam nitya yukta upasate shataya pariyopetas te me yukta tamamata. These are the best. Those who fix their minds on me, who always worship me with great faith, transcendental faith, te me yukta tamamata. In my opinion, they're the best. The devotees are the best. So now, two means but. But there are others, or these others who are engaged in the worship of the Absolute Truth, can also attain perfection. They're called, in America we would say, also-rans. You have that expression here? No. Also-ran means, in a race, there's a winner, and then the others are also-rans. They also ran in the race, but they didn't win. But they get the credit that they also ran. So the best yogis are the ones engaged in devotional service. But the impersonalists also get credit that they also ran. They also engaged in some transcendental process. Okay, I think we can turn this off. Red button. Yes. Good. That should be all right. Oh. Srila Prabhupada comments, those who do not directly worship the Supreme Godhead Krishna, but who attempt to achieve the same goal by an indirect process, also achieve the same goal, Sri Krishna. After many births, the man of wisdom seeks refuge in me, knowing that Vasudev is all. When a person comes to full knowledge after many births, he surrenders unto Lord Krishna. So that's the conclusion. Te prapnuvanti mam eva. They ultimately achieve me. The devotees achieve Krishna by the direct process, and the impersonalists also eventually achieve Krishna. That's bahunam janmanam ante. After Gyanavan, the person of knowledge, after many, many births, bahunam janmanam ante, Gyanavan mam prapadyate, the person who achieves knowledge surrenders to Krishna. Why? Vasudeva Sarvamiti. He finally realizes that Krishna is everything. He's Brahman, he's Paramatma, he's Bhagavan. He's the reservoir of everything. He's the Absolute Truth. Vasudeva Sarvamiti, he's everything. So let me surrender. Sa Mahatma Suguru. He finally surrenders to Krishna. So this is the process. For the jnanis, the impersonalists are generally the jnanis, those who are cultivating knowledge by intellectual discrimination, discerning between matter and spirit. They're trying to understand the truth, but their understanding of the truth is difficult because it's arrived at by a negative process. The absolute material world, there's form, so the absolute truth must not have any form. The material world, there are names. The absolute truth must be beyond names. In the material world, there's things are definite. The absolute truth must be indefinite. So in this way, they get an idea of the absolute truth. Actually, it's a relative idea. Although their goal is the absolute, their process is relative to this material understanding. In relation, but they know the absolute truth is not part of this material context. But he's not. That's their not this. So not this is relative to this. So their conception of the absolute truth is arrived at in relation to the material existence. And by that process, they reach a conception which is impersonal. Personal? No, impersonal. Definite? No, indefinite. Name? No, no name. Form? No. Everything's no. Not this. It's an opposite conception. Opposite to the material conception. Whatever this material existence is, the absolute truth must be the opposite. So in this way, they reach their idea of impersonalism. And finally, because they are following a spiritual process, finally they become clear in the understanding that this impersonal realization is not sufficient. There must be something more. And then they come to Krishna. But Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. That's a very rare soul. Mostly, people are not interested in any process of spiritual realization. They're interested in sense gratification, improving their existence in this material world. Mostly, they're engaged like that. But out of thousands, manusyanam sahasreshu kashchit, someone may attain perfection. Attain perfection means to have some realization that I'm not this body, I'm spirit soul, that there is an absolute truth. A perfection they attain. The impersonal realization that there's some indefinite, unspeakable, beyond words, beyond material form. And yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam deti. Out of them, out of thousands of them, maybe one will understand Krishna. That means realization of Krishna is not such an ordinary thing. If one approaches the Godhead by the method mentioned in this verse, he has to control the senses, render service to everyone, and engage in the welfare of all living beings. It is inferred that one has to approach Lord Krishna. Otherwise, there's no perfect realization. Often there's much penance involved before one fully surrenders to him. So here, the method, the qualifications are quite high that one has to have. Sunniyam yendriya grama, completely sun, sunniyamya. Where's that? Sunniyamya, completely controlling, indriya grama, all the senses. And sarvatra samabuddhaya. One has to have equal vision. One has to see. That's described elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita. Samalostrashma kanchana. No difference between gold and stone, pebbles, everything the same. Pandita samadarshana. No difference between the dog, the dog eater, the cow, the Brahmin, everyone equal. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihashtini Shuni Chaiva Shabhake Cha Pandita Samadarshana. So one has to be a pundit with that spiritual equality, samabuddhi, equally disposed toward everything and everyone. He can't be partial. In the material world we have partiality. I like you, I don't like you. I like this, I don't like that. We're going according to our likes and dislikes. But on the spiritual platform, sarvatra samabuddhayana, one has to cultivate this consciousness of being equal toward everyone and everything. And sarvabhuta hiterata, one has to be working for the welfare of all living beings, rendering service to everyone, and trying for the welfare of all. Then, finally, such a person, te prapnuvanti, such persons may finally surrender to Krishna and achieve Krishna. Their target is aksharam anirdesham avyaktam. Akshara means that which is beyond the perception of the senses. And anirdesham, indefinite. And avyakta, not manifest. And sarvatra gam, again, everywhere. Yes. Yes, all-pervading. And achintya. You can't even think about it. Inconceivable. Achintya. Beyond the ability of our minds to conceive. Achintya. And kutastha, unchanging. And achalam, immovable. And dhruvam, fixed. This is the description of the Absolute. From the impersonal point of view. From the personal point of view, we say, Alola Chandra Kalasa Vanamalya Vamsi Ratnam Gadam Pranaya Keli Kalavi Lasham Shyamam Tribonga Lalitam Niyata Prakasham Govinda Mari Purusham Tamahandra. The description of Krishna is much different. Alola Chandra, beautiful moon like face. And decorated with a beautiful garland and forest flowers, and Vamshi, he's always playing on his flute, Ratnam Gadam, has beautiful jeweled ornaments on his hands, Ratnam Gadam. His whole body is beautifully decorated. And Pranaya Keli, he's always engaged in loving pastimes. Krishna's with Radharani and the gopis, and with all of the devotees, cowherd boys, Nandi Yashoda. And Shyamam Tribanga Lalita. He has a very nice Lalita, very nice Shyamam Tribanga Lalita. Shama means his form is not exactly black, not exactly bluish. Shama is a color of, is Krishna's color. Not exactly a color of this material world. But for our understanding, it's compared to the hue of dark rain clouds, monsoon clouds. If you had to describe a monsoon cloud, it's not exactly black, but it's not exactly blue, but it's not exactly, it's has its own color. But Krishna's color is like that, Shama. Shyamam Tribanga. And he's bending on three places. Krishna, we all know how Krishna is standing in his threefold bending posture. Shyamam Tribhanga Lalitam Niyatam Niyata Prakasham. That form is eternally manifest. It's not a temporary product of material nature. Govindamadi Purusham Tamahangajam. So the devotees fix their mind on this personal feature of the Lord. Then they can go on and on thinking about Krishna's form. This was only one verse. Brahma's written so many verses about the specific personal glories of Govinda. But about the impersonal absolute, actually you can't say anything except that you can't say anything. That if the words can't describe it, the mind can't conceive it, it's beyond this, that. Therefore, Krishna says, klesho dhikataras te sham avyakta satta chetasa. Avyakta satta means fixing the mind on this impersonal, unmanifest truth. Avyakta satta chetasa. Becoming conscious of this impersonal absolute truth is klesha adhikatara, very troublesome. Adhik means exceedingly klesha, troublesome. Avyaktahi gatir dukkam deha bhadvira. Very difficult to fix one's mind on this impersonal feature. In order to perceive the super soul within the individual soul, one has to cease the sensual activities of seeing, hearing, tasting, working, etc. Then one comes to understand that the Supreme Soul is present everywhere. Realizing this, one envies no living entity. He sees no difference between man and animal, because he sees soul only, not the outer covering. But for the common man, this method of impersonal realization is very difficult. Very difficult. If we ask the ordinary man to become situated in this kind of equilibrium, even-mindedness, unaffected by heat and cold, happiness and distress, unaffected by any bias toward anyone or anything, very difficult. Become equally disposed toward all living beings. No, he'll be more disposed toward his family. He won't say, yes, I'm equal to everyone because they're all equally sparks of the Supreme. He'll naturally tend to be more interested in his family. Even if we're in business, we want to compete and we want to be successful. That means, successful means that someone else is less successful at our expense. That's business. Sports, like sports. If I'm the winner, then that means someone else is losing. Yes. So it's, if I win some post, even in academia, it's not that academia, they don't do these things. That only in business, they're very competitive. And in academia, they're more, they just think and very competitive. There's intense rivalry to who's going to publish first, who's going to publish where, who's going to get his article in the journal. Who's going to get tenure at the, or if there's an appointment, who'll get that appointment, because the only one position is available, but 40 people are applying. So there's always a competition. So if we ask the professors or the businessmen or anyone, now you become equal toward all, everyone, and don't become more interested in this than in that. No, that will be very difficult. For that, it is possible. You go to the Himalayas, you forget about your career, you forget about academic excellence, you forget about your family as against someone else's family. Forget all these things. Go to the Himalayas, sucho deshe pratishtapyas tiram asanam atmanaha nati utshritam nati nicham chailajana kushottaram. Put down a deer skin and kusha grass and soft cloth in a seat which is not too high and not too low in such a sacred place. And brahmachari istatevrita, observe strict brahmacharya. And in this way, one has to discipline the mind, discipline the senses, control the breath, and finally attain the stage of absorption in spiritual realization. That's not such an easy thing. Not such an easy thing. So this impersonal realization is not easily achieved. It's not that just add a mantra to your life or do some rituals or read a book and you'll attain this realization. It's very difficult. One has to undergo serious discipline. And then what you achieve is also difficult. Why? Srila Prabhupada explains, this impersonal realization is difficult in the beginning and it's problematic in the end. In the beginning it's difficult because it's hard to get. We ask you to think of something that you can't think of. That's very hard. We ask you to think of Krishna. That you can do. How Krishna is with the cowherd boys, how Krishna is with the gopis, how Krishna is with the Pandavas, how Krishna is doing so many things, that you can think of and think of. How Krishna has so many incarnations, 10 principal incarnations, so each one of them presents an unlimited subject matter for thinking. But if we ask you to think of something impersonal, with no form, no qualities, it's like climbing a glass wall. It's very, very difficult. Very difficult. Then, if you succeed, then it's now a problem, because we want to go on to the higher realization of the personality of Godhead, but I've gone through so much trouble to get this impersonal realization, now it's very difficult to give up. When someone says, oh, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they'll say, no, Krishna has form. He can't be supreme. How Krishna has, that's a name, that Krishna can't be supreme. Krishna has qualities, but Krishna can't be supreme. Because they've worked so hard to reach that stage. Now to give up that understanding will be difficult, and that understanding will color their view of everything else. Alright, Krishna is supreme, he's a manifestation of that higher impersonal truth. Because they're stuck on it. They're stuck on it. I once made the mistake of, I was talking to a peace worker and trying to explain something about Krishna consciousness, and I made the mistake of saying that one has to observe discipline just like a military man has to observe discipline. Oh, immediately, you know, lost the subject. No. This we need peace. Military service is very bad. Shouldn't be. Why should our men be forced to go into the? Whoa! I wasn't talking about. I was just giving an example. But he couldn't. My fault. The whole conversation got diverted because he was stuck on this point: peace. No war. So as soon as you mention anything military, whoa! Not that. So they've, similarly, the impersonalists, they're so fixed on this point. Impersonal. No name, no form, no qualities, no pain. That when you present Krishna, then say, oh, whoa, that can't be it. That's so, in the beginning, it's problematic because it's so difficult to achieve this realization. And in the mature stage, it's difficult because now that very realization that they worked so hard to get is an obstacle to further progress. So here, still the credit is given that the impersonalist can reach Krishna, but after great difficulty, because they're taking the indirect process for realization of the Supreme. Whereas the devotees take the direct process. Prabhupada gave the example that if you want to touch your nose, it's very easy. But if you want to go around the back of your head and touch your nose, now that's takes a lot more effort. Huh? Why not take the direct process? You see, why go through so much trouble? So the devotees take the direct process, and therefore, as Krishna will describe in the later verses of this chapter, they're very dear to him. They're very dear to him. Shadadhana matparama bhaktaste tivame priya. They are very, and that's our purpose, to become finally dear to Krishna, to become intimately related with Krishna in a loving relationship. Just as the Brajvasis are intimately related with Krishna in loving dealings, our goal also is to have that loving relationship with Krishna, following in the footsteps of the Brajvasis. That's the real perfection of life, not to go to the impersonal Brahmajoki, but to go to the personal abode of Krishna, Tadhama Paramam Mama. All right, are there some questions? Koi prashna hai?
In the devotional process, controlling of our flickering mind too difficult.
Then imagine how difficult it is in the impersonal process.
Whereas impersonal process at least drives your mind to a controlling process.
No. The impersonal process is drive. Yes, the impersonal process you have to control the mind, and the personal process you have to control the mind.
Personal process is too liberal, it looks.
So be strict. Krishna says, satata jukta, be always engaged in my service. Nitya yukta upasita. It's not such a breezy thing that you just, you know, throw a couple of mantras around and now you're perfect. It does mean controlling the mind. If you read later in the chapter what the qualifications of the devotees are, it's not such a simple thing that you just, you know, casually do some service sometimes and now you're a devotee and now you attain perfection. It also involves serious discipline. But if it's difficult to fix the mind on Krishna, how much more difficult it is to think of something that you can't think of. Just like Prabhupada gave the example, thinking of the sky. Especially if you think of the sky just like cloudless sky. And keep your mind fixed on that. It will be very difficult. Especially if at least the sky is blue, that much you can think of. But if you try to imagine the sky without any color, and now think of that sky on and on and on, no clouds in the sky, no sun in the sky, and no color in the sky. Now keep your mind fixed on that sky. How will you do that? Because there's nothing to think of. I said think of the sky. That's also very nebulous or very, you know, general. But now if we say the sky without clouds and the sky without color, Now, what is there left to think of? It would be very difficult. But if we say, think of a child, that you can do on and on. We can think of how the child is dressed, how the child is wearing her earrings, how the child is wearing her headband, how the child is wearing her sari, how the child is smiling, how the child is reading, how the child is... We can go on and on thinking of the child, especially the parents of the child, the relatives of the child. They'll go on and on thinking of the child, the different things the child is doing, different things, how the child is speaking, how the child is... You can on and on think of a little child very easily. But big sky, especially with nothing in it, is very difficult. So which is practical, to fix the mind on something impersonal or to fix the mind on Krishna? But fixing the mind on Krishna also means discipline. That is, we have to not allow our mind to be distracted toward Maya. We have to fix it on Krishna. And it's still more easy. Suppose meditating on Krishna's form, that also takes a lot of concentration. And my mind is flickering. Then all right, take an easier method still. Take this chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Now you don't have to think anything. You just have to fix your mind on the sound. That also is discipline, because the mind will wander away from the sound. But it's so much easier. Hare Krishna, you again bring it back, oh, Krishna Krishna. You bring the mind back, bring the mind back, bring the mind back to something, not to nothing, to that transcendental sound vibration. That's practical for you. Something else? Yes?
You said that Jnanis, they also attain the God.
Yes.
So they attain the God with the realization of the impersonal, or gradually they shift to the...
They may, of course, here Krishna says, Prapnuvanti Mameva. They attain me. They attain me. So Prabhupada says it's inferred here. Let's see. It is inferred here that one has to approach Lord Krishna. Otherwise, there's no perfect realization. So Gyanavan, when he's actually, the Gyanis may attain the impersonal absolute, but if they actually become Gyanavan, fully equipped with knowledge, Mam Prapajite, he surrenders to Krishna. Vasudeva Sarvam. Then he attains Krishna. Just like Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati, they were big, big impersonalists. Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya was a great scholar, great, very learned person, Brahmin. So he was fixed in that absolute conception. But when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he came to the understanding of the personality of God. Similarly, Prakashananda Saraswati. Very staunch and impersonalist, a lot of discipline there. Yeah, who's seen that picture in Chaitanya Charitamrita? How the Prakashananda Saraswati is sitting there, surrounded by the sannyasis, and Lord Chaitanya is there. You've seen that picture? Anyone else has seen? No one else has seen? In our teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the picture is there, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was invited to a program where there were all the Mayavadi sannyasis, and Prakashananda Saraswati was the chief. And they were all sitting there, and they're looking very stern. And actually, they're described as being like dry oil cakes without the oil. Really dry, because what do they have? There's no singing, there's no dancing. Prakashananda Saraswati said, wait a second, you're a sannyasi. What are you doing, singing and dancing like a sentimentalist? You should be studying Vedanta. You should be doing these things. Very dry. And actually, one time I went to Kanchipuram with our Padayatra, 1986. And there we met the Shankaracharya, not the present Shankaracharya, but his predecessor, who was a very saintly person. And also there was, again, not the present Shankaracharya, but his successor, who at that time was maybe the age of this boy. We're just talking about you, and you missed it. That Shankaracharya, third Shankaracharya, was about this age. And so he was being tutored in Sanskrit and in Shastra and all of that. And there was a number of sannyasis who were there for teaching him. And they looked just like those in the picture. Very stern and like dry oil cakes without the oil. Whereas when you see the devotees, they're all joyful. They're singing and dancing. They're singing and dancing. Those stern Mayavadis are taking the indirect process and going through a lot of trouble. Klesho, Tipitaras, Teshana. And the devotees, they're taking the direct process. So they're tushanti charamanticha, they're enjoying great happiness in the service of Krishna.
This is possible without a guru? Attaining Krishna is possible without a guru?
No. Possible, yes. If Krishna so desires, one can attain him without anything, without guru, without sadhana, without anything. Huh? Miracle? Yeah, it's absolutely mercy. It's possible. Just like the greatest university in the world, perhaps, is Oxford University. And sometimes a person can get an honorary degree. He doesn't enroll, he doesn't pay tuition, he doesn't follow any of the courses, he doesn't write a dissertation, he doesn't do anything. The university just says, here, we award you an honorary degree from Oxford, just like Rabindranath Tagore. I think he was offered an honorary degree on account of being a great poet. But he never did anything at Oxford, they just gave him the degree. So if Krishna likes, he can give you a degree. You can attain him. But is that going to be your process? Suppose you wanted a degree from Oxford University. Would you just simply sit at home and say, well, Rabindranath got an honorary degree, I think I'd also like to get an honorary degree. Or do you enroll and take the classes and write your exams and do all of that? There's a standard process. If you want the degree, you enroll, you attend the classes, you do everything, and then after, 4 years, you'll get the degree. Simple. Otherwise, if you wait for an honorary degree, maybe one day you'll get one, but not very likely. So for achieving Krishna, there's a standard process. Tad vigyanartham sa guru meva abhigachet. Gachet is imperative, not may, must. What is that must? Tad vigyanartham. If one wants to get the benefit of really realizing, vigyan means realizing, artha, the meaning or the purpose of the Vedic knowledge. Sa guru me eva. Eva means definitely. abhigacche, one must approach. Guru meva abhigacche, one must definitely approach a guru. Very strong. Now, yes, sometimes Krishna may just, but otherwise to reach Krishna, very strongly it's stated, we must approach the tasmad guru gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shreya uttama. One who wants to attain shreya uttama, the ultimate goal, gurum prapadyeta, he should surrender to the bona fide spiritual master. Is that all right? Yes?
In Mahabharata, Krishna, Lord Krishna is to be blamed for the death of Abhimanyu.
Yes.
So, I know perfectly well Krishna is the Supreme Personal Godhead. I would love to know the reason, Prabhuji, Maharaj, what exactly Krishna wanted to perform his pastime of killing. There might be a reason for that.
Yes, he's allowing. I don't know particularly why he's, what his purpose was in allowing Abhimanyu to be killed. Many people will blame Krishna for everything. Krishna didn't kill Abhimanyu, the Kauravas.
In fact, he was made, that's what he said. Abhimanyu was in the womb of his mother, so he was listening to everything regarding the Padma Vihara story, like Chaturvedi. There was some part where Abhimanyu went, we used to fight in the beach.
Slower. Tell me again.
When Abhimanyu was in the womb of his mother.
Yes.
So there was a part like it's called Chakravyuham.
He learned Chakravyuham.
Yeah, I know the history. He learned half of the. He learned how to get in, but he didn't learn how to get out. So then, that's blamed on Krishna.
Yeah,
but the non-devotees, they'll blame everything on Krishna. My mother died, it's Krishna's fault. My son died, it's Krishna's fault. My business failed, it's Krishna's fault. Everything's Krishna's fault. They don't consider that we've come to this material world, we've left the service of Krishna, we're trying to exploit the laws of material nature, but those laws are very strict. That they don't consider, just everything's Krishna's fault. Or there's no God because the world is unjust. Or there is God, but I don't like him because he's not. No. This is the attitude of the non-devotees, Vimukha-chetas. But the devotees, whatever Krishna, all right, Abhimanyu, he was killed, so what happened? He's glorified. What is that? Not Yadrichcha Lava Santrishto. Yadrichchaya Chopapannam Swargadwaram Apavrata Sukhina Kshatriya Partha Labante Yudhamidrish. In the second chapter, Krishna says those who, Kshatriyas, if they get a chance to fight, they're happy. Swargadwaram Apavrata. Even the Kshatriya who's killed on the battlefield attains Swargaloka. So, we think, oh, it's such a terrible thing. But what happened? He's glorious. How many men did it take? How many Maharatis to defeat Abhimanyu? Dronacharya was there. Karna was there. So many. To defeat one boy, it required so many of the best soldiers. And what did he do when he was surrounded by all of these best soldiers? He fought like anything. They took his chariot, still he's fighting. They'll cut his bowstring, still he's fighting. Down to the last moment, still he's fighting. So that's glorious. So the result is that he's glorified. He's glorified. And leaving this material world. Who wants to stay in the material world anyway? So, the materialists will blame Krishna, but the devotees will glorify Krishna, that Krishna showed such qualities in Abhimanyu. And another thing, that killing the Kauravas was required. So after the killing of Abhimanyu, then Arjuna was determined. So that's a further point. The non-devotees will always criticize. Krishna's to blame for this, Krishna's to blame for that. If I have a toothache, it's Krishna's fault. You know, everything's Krishna. And the devotees, if I have a toothache, that's good now. I have to depend more on Krishna. Imagine this is only a toothache, what to speak of the time of death. So it's a little practice for me. I have to tolerate something. No, doesn't mind. The devotees always glorify Krishna, and the non-devotees always abhijananti mam mudha. They always denigrate Krishna. Yes?
But what about those who are chanting Mahamantra but at the same time accepting meat and fish? Would they get any benefit? Will they make any progress?
Yes. Chanting, anyone who chants will make progress, but he's making his progress slow. Just like sometimes you've seen the car is very powerful and the engine is going full throttle, but it's in mud. So then what happens? Very difficult to make progress, even though the engine is so powerful, even though still the wheels are spinning in the mud. So it's difficult to make progress. So Maha Mantra is very powerful. One will get benefit from chanting, regardless. But why should we be in the mud? Krishna says, Yesham Twantagatam Papam Jananam Punyakarmanam Te Dvandvamoha Nirmukta Bhajante Mam Dridhavrata. Who can engage in Krishna consciousness, Dridhavrata, very seriously? Who can be freed from duality and illusion? Dvandva Moha Nirmukta. Who can attain that situation? Yesham Tu Antakatam Papa. Those who've come to the end of sinful activities. What are sinful activities? That's mentioned in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Dhyutam panam striyam sunam yatra dharma chaturvida. This is a dharma. What is that? Dhyutam, gambling, panam, intoxication, Priyam, illicit sex, sunam, meat eating, yatra dharma, chaturvi. These are four kinds of adharma. So if one wants to be freed from duality and illusion and engage in Krishna consciousness very seriously, then antakatam papam, one has to come to the end of that. Therefore, before anyone can be initiated in our society, he has to take a vow. No gambling, no intoxicants, no meeting, no illicit sex. And positively, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. But suppose someone is addicted to these things, intoxicants or gambling or illicit sex or meat eating. If he takes to this process very seriously, chanting Hare Krishna, then he'll come to that point. I've had enough of this. He'll come to that point that I'm trying to become Krishna conscious and still I'm attached to this rubbish. So he'll want to give it up. Or he'll come to the point, I'm getting such happiness in chanting Hare Krishna, what happiness will I get from this rubbish? So it's not that we wait, that until I become free from all these things, I won't chant. Or that chanting won't have any effect. The effect of the chanting will be, he'll want to give these things up. Then when he actually gives them up, then he makes, now progress becomes more substantial. Progress becomes more substantial. Because he's chanting, he'll make progress. What is that progress? Let me give it up. Is that okay? All right.
The Maharaj was very kind to bring a lot of gifts for all our devotees here.